Food Network Tournament of Champions. Tournament of Champions will not take place tonight because doesn't that sound redundant? In its place, we present the following.
This is Gluten Pepper, and we don't have any sort of premieres or anything going on this week, do we?
Oh, God,
Why are we even here?
Dude, okay, would you two stop?
Hold on.
Jason wants to take this seriously. Go ahead.
Yeah, we do.
Go ahead and take it seriously.
We had the first for Tournament of Champions matches. We need to go to Deal or No Deal Island. And the other island, we got to go from Panama to Fiji. Then we got to go to the Snatch Game Studios. And we actually have actual news. Plus, our game this week. Oh, and speaking of islands, it's deserted.
All I can say is it's very apropos.
It is very apropos. So, lots of stuff to talk about. Not a lot of time. So, Chico, if you would.
From somewhere in America, WLTI, the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to episode 434 of the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast here at 5N1 Studios. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. A week away from daylight savings time, less than a month from baseball, weather's getting warmer, snow's going away. Bite me. Chico and Gordon, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are.
I am, but signal me, because it's time, baby, finally, for this.
Oh, but yes.
It is time, finally, for the penultimate tournament, before we get back to regular play, more on that later.
I want tournaments, nothing but tournaments.
Gordon, heel.
Yeah, I'll behave now.
That's fine. Okay, game one of the Tournament of Champions had Matthew Marcus, Suresh Krishnan, and Emily Sands.
All three of which are good people.
Right. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Emily had 4,800, Suresh had 200, Matthew had 1,000. After the double Jeopardy round, it was pretty much over because
Suresh ends the game with nothing.
Right.
Matthew has 7,400. It's Emily's seat at the semis to lose was 21,800.
Right. So the category is French authors. Here's your clue. Trained as a priest and a physician, in 1532, he published his first novel under the pen name Alcofribas Nacier. And I did not know this.
I did.
So, Gordon, do you have any?
I went with what is alcohol?
No,
because
it was not
you
alcohol.
Needed a drink after reading that.
Yeah, I did. So what happened was that Matthew got it right as Francois Rabelais, which is an anagram of Alcofribas Nacier, bets it all and doubles up to almost to $14,799. Emily writes, "Who are the greatest people in the universe? Jeopardy fans." Thank you, Emily. We love you too because she smartly bet nothing and moves on to the semifinals. So we go to Monday's
game two.
And this was the equivalent of as our good friend Brian Henniger said, a 16 seed knocking off a one. Because Chris Pannullo, who was the number one overall seed and I believe a 21 game winner, if my numbers are right.
Chris Pannullo was a 21-time winner with over $750,000, taking on Ben Goldstein and Jared Watson. At the end of the Jeopardy round, Chris and Jared are neck and neck at $8,800 a pop. Ben has $1,200. At the end of Double Jeopardy, call a doctor.
Because Jared hit all three daily doubles. He gets the single Jeopardy for 4,200 in Space Mountain, and the double Jeopardies, he gets Amalgam for Alloys and White Horse for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police in World Cities. So we have another lock game with Chris at 14,000, Ben at 4,400, and Jarrett at 32,200. I was stunned by this. This game knocked me off on my behind.
This was a shocker. This was a stone-cold shocker. But you know what? Props to Jared. He knew what he had to do, and he did it. He executed, and now, let's get to the Final Jeopardy.
We'll get to the Final Jeopardy.
He also got really lucky in finding all the daily doubles.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, he did. He went three for three,
but that's what you need to do in an upset. You need to get lucky. I mean, we saw this happen in terms of this is how you get in the upset. I believe that's how James Holzhauer got knocked off also, if I remember correctly. Yep.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Right, and art history, the category is art history.
The clue...
I got it. The Royal Academy of Arts has this man's La Fornarina, and in the 1800s, the RAA's love of him made some artists retreat to an earlier style. Now, I had what Ben had, and that was El Greco. Wrong. He's down to $100. Chris said, who was Botticelli? Wrong. He's out. Jared got it. Right, because it was Raphael, and Ken explains. The pre-Raphaelites, as they were applauding, were the artists who were not into Raphael at the time. He bets, of course, nothing, so Jared is semi-finalist numero dos.
Yes, okay. And now we're going to number three with Young Sheng Wang, David Sibley, and Hannah Wilson, and... At the end of the Jeopardy round, it is David on 7,600, Hannah on 3,800, and Young Sheng at 2,400. And finally, we have a very interesting predicament here because David has 18,800, Hannah has 13,200, Young Sheng all but out of it with 3,200.
The correct bet for Hannah is, if my guess is correct, 5,601.
To lock Young Sheng out, yes.
Correct.
And also to bet against David getting it right.
Right.
So you're basically killing two birds with one stone if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens as we go into Final Jeopardy with the category of military history and this clue. A prototype of this craft was deployed in August 1955. It made headlines in May of 1960.
This was the first easy Final Jeopardy of the game. Very easy. Okay. What is the U-2 spy plane? That was the one with Gary Powers that got shot over in Russia, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
You are correct in all form and facets. So are all three of our players. Hannah bet 13,195. David had 7,601. David
Which covered Hannah, by the way.
Yep. David moves on by $6.
He could have been done by a dollar. So, David, our priest, moves on. Now we go to today's game, which is Yogesh Raut, Jake DeRuda, and Nick Cascone. After the end of the Jeopardy round, Jake had it. He did. He was on fire. Had 14,400, including a very big daily double in the feeling charitable round. Okay.
Yep. Amnesty International gave him 6,600 more. So he goes into the half with 14,400. Yogesh has 5,600. Nick has 1,000.
And Gordon, you always remember we always talk about this on the BS, and Chico, you know about this. Games are not won. You have to play all of the game, not half of it.
You know play to win the game, and you play
You play
the football game. You did not play 59 minutes. You play 60.
Right.
Yeah.
And Yogesh played 60. However, Nick had 11,000 going into a category in the dictionary, and you have the clue on this one. He bet 10,000, and oh boy.
Okay, this was after he found the daily double and doubled up. So he bets 10,000 on in the dictionary, and the clue is spur of the moment, or a piano piece that's meant to sound spontaneous, like Chopin's Opus 29. And it was, I thought this was easy.
Not for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, he went with an improvisation. He's like a page or two away from the correct answer. It's an impromptu.
And you heard the groan of the audience because he was trying to make it a three-person game, and then it became a two-person game.
Yeah.
So what happens? What happens going at the end?
Going into the final, Yogesh played a very complete game with 26,800 to Jake's 14,004, and that blunder really set Nick back with 2,400. Final Jeopardy category is 1950s politics, and your clue is... In 1959, Bob Bartlett and Hiram Fong each won a coin flip to gain this alliterative title.
Now, I had an alliterative title, but it was not the one I was thinking of, okay? The alliterative title I had was Governor General because I was thinking Hong Kong, which is a good guess with a Chinese name, correct? Or a Japanese-type name. However, I was dead wrong.
Yeah. The correct response was, well, Gordon, what did you have?
I had Godiva's Gallant Galloping Goulash.
Pretty good.
The correct response was...
Senior Senator.
Because when Alaska and Hawaii joined the Union, there was no way to know which of their senators was the senior senator, so they flipped the coin. And Yogesh only bet the minimum and won with $24,799. He moves on to the semis.
So let's talk about the matchups we have for the last five semifinalists.
Five we have tomorrow, as we record this, Leap Day. Javeria Zaheer, Luigi De Guzman, and Kevin Bell. America's sweetheart, Canada's sweetheart, and Luigi De Guzman, who is everybody's sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, we have Stephen Webb, Josh Sack, and friend of the site, Brian Henniger.
Right.
On Monday, we have Ray Lalonde, Melissa Clapper, and Hollywood big shot Ike Barinholtz. I say that jokingly. Tuesday, we have Ben Chan, Emmett Stanton, and Justin Bolton. And the final quarterfinal game will be Troy Meyer, Sean McShane, and Deb Bilodeau, which we talked about last week.
Right, and then we will have the
three semifinal games, and then the best of seven race to three in the finals. But then, after that, we were done with tournaments. We are not.
Right,
because on Monday, that'll be March 31st until April 8th, we have the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, which will open the floodgates to iconic older champions returning after decades away from the buzzer. I'm not saying that they have Jason's phone number.
No, unfortunately, they do not.
Uh-oh.
They do not.
Okay. But right after that, it's back to finding the next great legend.
Which will have another 4 months and everybody will be okay with it. Okay? But
until
I will.
Until they're not.
Yeah, until they're not. But I will just say that we put it to the first four games have been entertaining it well.
Oh, yeah. It's been, you know what, it's been nothing short of spectacular this tournament. I mean, this is a tournament that's basically living up to its billing. Now, I...
Well, just... wait, isn't that the tournament that you just passed saying, can't wait for the civilians to come back?
No, no, that's the internet, not, not us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit, stop, dude.
You know what I think Gordon needs? I think Gordon needs a. I think Gordon needs to take a vacation on an island with $200 million buried in it.
No, he does not.
So let's talk about Deal or No Deal Islands, where we have.
Oh, do we have? I guess we.
Yeah,
do.
We
okay.
do. Yeah, we
let's
do.
Go.
You know
okay.
what? That's fine. There are 30.
Okay,
you know,
and I have to say this because. Rob, you know, Boston Rob said that it was filmed in Panama at a place called Bocas de Toro, or Bull's Mouth, or Mouths of Bull, okay? Which is actually, which, according to my excellent sister Liz, is on the Atlantic side of the Panama. It's actually
you know,
a
that's,
very...
That's why I didn't see it, because we were staying on the Pacific side.
Correct. And, right. Now... So there are, what, 13 players?
13 players. They're living together. They're competing together. And each episode has two parts. The first part is looking for briefcases with different dollar values inside. The highest dollar value will get to nominate someone on the bottom.
To play Deal or No Deal against the banker.
Yeah.
Now, and then now also, in the opening, there were two red cases, and one of them is a steal case, and what was the other one? I forget.
Nothing, which is an automatic, you're on the bottom, have fun, haha.
Okay, fine, nothing, okay. Now, here is the first part where I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. One guy admitted he had the $1 million case and gave it to her after she got the steal case.
Yeah, that would be.
Well,
let's
rewind a little bit here. Her happens to be Kim, who's a 62-year-old contestant who makes believe that she's this real woman, except we find out later she's not. So that's a part of it. Part of it is that a game was played, Deal or No Deal was played. In order to win and not be eliminated, you have to make a good deal. If you do that, then you not only don't get eliminated, you pick the person that does get eliminated. The only person that you can't pick is the person that's got immunity, which is the person that's got the highest amount on the board in terms of the briefcase.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the money that is won on Deal or No Deal, supposedly, allegedly, I don't know this part, I haven't figured it out, potentially goes to the winner of the game, the overall winner. So I guess from a financial standpoint, it is good to try to build the pot as much as you can, especially if you win. From a strategy standpoint, that is an absolutely god-awful idea.
I agree with you, actually.
Which is one of many problems this show has. But let's start with the good, because there is a lot of good. First of all, production value is amazing.
Yes.
Location is great. I know some people are harping on Joe Manganiello. I don't think he did a bad job because
no, he did a very good job. I'm sorry.
Joe Manganiello is a really good host. I mean,
he is a really good host.
He's basically like he is basically what would happen if you took a Jeff Probst type and a Howie Mandel type and smushed them together, which is what you need for a show this big and badass.
Well, not only that, but he's got acting chops, which again you really need for this sort of show.
Right.
So that is good. Production values are great. I like some of the wrinkles that they threw in with the briefcases, some. I do like the fact that you got to find the briefcases on the island. So that all for me is good. Do you guys have anything else that you want to discuss before I start to savage the show?
You know what? I think we nailed everything. Production values are great. Joe Manganiello is great. I guess we
the location
have to start
is great.
Location is great. If we're gonna talk about the bad, I guess we could start with
No. Let Gordon get it out. Let Gordon get it out.
All right.
Because yeah. I'm going to go automatically in places where you guys aren't going to go. The casting director needs to be shot.
Thank you.
Well, no. Why, Chico? Why? Because you may not be going the direction that I'm going.
I'm probably not, but I did think You're that not, the casting probably. Was very sus, especially when you went out of your way to get Boston Rob and Claudia Jordan on the cast.
That's not the problem that I had.
What is the problem that you... But that's the problem I had. What's the problem you have?
I didn't, because you needed to attract a Boston Rob and a Claudia Jordan. The problem is, they didn't go far enough. If you were going to do a Deal or No Deal Island, why don't you bring back, besides those two, the 11 most memorable people to play the original version of Deal or No Deal?
Because we know that some of them are not physically up to it.
You and have more than 13
people.
This is
a physical game, and this is a physical game as well.
Wait a second, really? Michelle Falco wouldn't play? You got a 60-year-old sure woman she... playing there, Chico. What are you talking about?
I'm just giving my opinion. I can't give my opinion.
You can. It's a really horrific one, which makes no sense, but sure. You know, why don't you bring back the son of Miss $5 Jackson? Why don't you bring back the guy that was on the 100th episode? You have all these people that 10, 15 years later, even on a Deal or No Deal episode that's from season 5 that was done 5 years ago, you had memorable people. Where are they? Why are we not bringing any of them back? You're telling me that someone that won $5 or $10 wouldn't jump back in? I think you're nuts.
You know what? If they think they could, they are more than welcome to. I would love to see
that. I'm sure casting didn't think about that. Clearly, they wanted Boston Rob and Claudia Jordan. Again, those are not bad choices. But again, they didn't go far enough. Embrace the Deal or No Deal mythos. You clearly did not do that. So that's number one. Number two, let's talk about the gameplay. Not the regular stuff that I like, but the Deal or No Deal itself.
Okay.
So, Chico, since I know you're really good with this, set up the board.
Okay. There are 20 cases, as little as
a penny,
as much as a million. Yeah.
For this round.
For this round, yes.
Yes.
So it's basically the syndicated board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's eight cases in the first round, seven in the second round. What was it, three and then one?
It was two and then one. It was eight, then seven, then two, then one.
Now, Chico, let's go through the game.
So in this game, Aaron is chosen to play Deal or No Deal. Aaron picks number 10, and we start knocking off cases, $50, $500, $275,000, $500,000, $300,000, $100,000, $750,000, $225,000. First offer is $45,000. Aaron says no.
Now, you know I'm going to ask you this question, Chico, because part of this is, did you make a good deal? How many over, how many under? Let's see if the producers are smart.
Okay, let's see. There's 45,000 is the offer, and Aaron has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 under.
How many over?
How many over is 1, 2, 3. Four.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4. From a mathematical standpoint, you have a 67% chance of getting a good deal. At the end, if it's one-on-one, you have a 50-50 shot, correct?
Correct.
Right now, at this point, you have around a 70% chance of being a winner if you say no deal at this point.
Correct.
What you really want to do is keep the highest case and only the highest case in play. From a mathematical standpoint, unless you happen to be holding the highest case, but you're not going to know that until the end. Anyway, now let's do round two.
Round two, $1, $7.50, a penny, $300, $10, $200,000, $1 million.
Whee!
So, you are left. We have like, what, five cases to go. Five cases.
Mm-hmm.
They are 25, 75, 250, 600,000. I believe we also have the offer. Okay, so we have 400,000, 600,000, 25, 250, and 75. The offer is $107,000. We have two three over.
Okay. So three over, which means if you take the deal now, is you only have a 40% chance of having a good deal. Because if you said there's three better and two worse.
Right.
So that would be stupid to take the deal now, because again, if you can run it, the worst you'll have is a 50. Well, the only thing you'll have is a 50-50 shot. So you may as well say no deal so that you can get your chances better by 10%.
Right. So he says, so Aaron says no deal, and we go to round three. Two to open. 250,000, 25. So you have 75, 400,000, and 600,000. The offer is 266,000. Now you have a 2 and 3 shot of making a good deal.
So, the only way that you would say no deal is if you're going to go all the way and you think you've got the best case.
That's what Aaron does. Aaron says no deal. Final round, 75. So, we're left with 400,000 or 600,000. The final offer is $445,000, which, if you ask me, is kind of weak sauce, especially given...
But Chico, the number doesn't matter. The number doesn't matter. It could be 401,000. It could be 599,000. The number doesn't matter. That's what you're not grasping.
Okay.
Because whether or not you win or you don't is based on if you made a good deal. So the question really becomes, and this is one of the biggest issues that I have with this game, and I would completely redo this round, and of course, I'm going to tell you exactly how I would redo it momentarily. But here's the biggest problem that I have. This is a gigantic luck box of an issue, because you're not talking about whether or not you made life changing deal. You're talking about whether or not you made a good deal. So this is a 50-50 shot. You understand, sir?
I understand, sir.
So he goes and does it, and wins and eliminates the poker player.
Yep, Branson is the first one out.
So what do we think?
I'll tell you right now how I remake this.
Okay. Go for it.
You have 26 cases. You play the standard deal or no deal. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, whatever. You get rid of all the fluff. And you can actually, as we all know, we can play speed deal or no deal and get this done in 10 to 15 minutes. Here's how this works. You have not one, but two players playing the game, and they alternate back and forth. The person that makes the better deal on the board wins. So after the round of six, deal or no deal. If you make a deal at that point, you freeze. And the other person, if they can make a better deal, you get knocked out. If they can't make a better deal, they get knocked out.
That would be the way to do it.
And then if it comes down to 50-50, if they both stay until the very end, the person that is the higher amount going into the elimination has the benefit option of making the action of either saying deal or no deal, and then the person with the lowest amount is stuck with whatever the person that took the highest amount doesn't take. Because at least now you got a little bit of strategy. It's not a luck box. And you try to figure it out based on the odds of the mutation instead of it being 50-50 all the way across, which, again, it should be, it's going to be, it's a whatever.
Unfortunately, it should be, it would be, it is, and it isn't. So, what's the...
So, your grade?
This should be a lot better. There's a lot of good things that are running for it. This should be a lot better. I'm, as you can tell, disappointed with the product. There's so many things they could have done better with this. And it's okay. It should be a lot better, C+. And I'm being real kind with that C+ grade because there is a lot to like about this. Deal or No Deal is still Deal or No Deal, but it sort of takes the whole idea and hurls it right into another TV show called The Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm not being that nice. C.
C is the grade. First of all, I was going into this show preparing to fail it. After all, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is Deal or No Deal. It doesn't need any help. But the thing of it is, Joe Manganiello, he works. The challenges, I'm not going to say they work, but in the grand scheme of things, I see where they were going with it. I don't agree where they're going with it, but I see where they're going with it. So yeah, it's a C. It's a C for me, Jay.
It's a C. I actually wanted to give it a C+, but I understand the flaws there, but I did enjoy it, and I want to see more. I do.
I mean, here's a couple more tweaks, and then we'll move on. The person that wins should only have a choice of two or three people at the bottom to get rid of. Because, again, for the social media aspect, alliances are a little bit too powerful in this game. Unless, again, they have nothing else to play for. I would have preferred to see, again, Deal or No Deal contestants that used to be on the show figuring out how their strategy works this time, or does it? Or the other aspect could be, if you get a certain number, that is a winning number, whether or not you make a good deal or a bad deal, because again, that's luck in the game. Because if you don't do that, the numbers are completely arbitrary. You're only dealing with whether or not you made a good deal or a bad deal, which means, yay, 400,000, 600,000, it means absolutely nothing. Because if you have the $600,000 case, and you deal, and you make a bad one, then you go home. Instead of being, yay, I won $600,000. Eh?
And you technically
and again,
did.
Maybe I'm going for this as a game show purist, but eh?
Well, first of all, you never won $600,000 to begin with. You won $600,000 towards the final case. You didn't win.
Yes.
You didn't win cock-a-poo-poo.
Diddly. You didn't win diddly.
Well, speaking
and
of
that's
diddly,
another problem that I have with the show. Because right. If you're playing the game and you've got nothing vested except whether you made a good deal or not, to be honest, you're better off with five cases, $100, $5, $10, $15, $20. The offer is $25. Sorry, not sorry. Anyway, Jay, let's move on.
Shall we go to another island, shall we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Survivor 46, and I will give you the theme of this week's episode. No one likes a quitter.
No. We saw Dark Jeff in this episode, and I'm here for it. Let's talk about the tribes first and foremost, so you know who we're talking about. Sika Tribe in green, composed of Ben Katzman, Charlie Davis, Jamila Jem Hussein Adams, Maria Shrime Gonzalez, Mariah Gaynor, and Tim Spicer. The Yanu tribe in pink is made up of Banu Gopal, Jessica Chong, David Jelinski, Kenzie Petty, Q Burdett, and Tiffany Nicole Irvin. The Orange Nami tribe is made up of Hunter McKnight, Liz Wilcox, Ramden Montalvo, Soda Thompson, Tevin Davis, and Venus Vapa. So, let's talk about what happened in this episode. First of all,
So first of all, the three tribes had to get Flint. Two players had to go through a muddy net, retrieve puzzle pieces to build a podium, and the first two to get their Flint got their Flint, and the winner got their got some camping supplies like a machete, a pot, and some other stuff. And who was that?
By the way, Sega ended up in second place. Nami comes in first and wins the first challenge. So congratulations to Nami. Sega, on the other hand, will have to decide between Sweat and Savvy. It's the Sweat and Savvy twist that we saw last season based on what they just learned about the chemistry of their tribe. They chose Savvy, leaving Yanu with Sweat. With Sweat, Yanu has to select two members that would fill two large urns with water in an allotted amount of time, with the warning that it would take several hours. So Jelinski and Q decide they're going to be the ones to compete for their supplies. Okay. If they complete it, they get supplies. Meanwhile, with Savvy, Sega had to select two members to compete in a word puzzle. Ben and Charlie played this one.
And Gordon, when I saw this, I was like, oh my god, this one was for you. Okay? Because what happened was is that they eliminated numbers and there were letters left in a word search which spelled out dig under rock. Unfortunately, these yutzes didn't see it.
No, they did not. They failed miserably. Like, how can I put this?
They were not very savvy.
No, but here's the first part. So Jelinski and I forget the other guy. Jelinski's like, we can't do this.
Jelinski, it's Jelinski and Q.
And Q, and Jelinski's like, we can't do this. There's no way we're going to do this. Q says, we have 2.5 hours, bro. Okay?
Yep.
And Jelinski's like, nope, I'm done. And tosses the hourglass with 2.5 hours left. Q, not a happy man.
No. It's like, and Q is basically like, Jelinski will be the guy who quits when the going gets tough. That's what Jelinski is going to be. So imagine that Q is going to work, should the need arise, to get Jelinski out first chance they get.
So,
there's that.
After that happened, Jess was like, I'm finding what's going on. I'm finding what the hell's going on. And she looks and she finds, eventually, she finds a place with the beware advantage and it says, and finds a box with no key. But there is a puzzle to find the key. And the key says, you'll find the key in the shallow rocks at the point. It's like, all right, fine. Runs her behind over there, digs, finds the key, gets back there, finds the idol, and buries the box with a few seconds to spare. So she has an idol.
That's good. Good for her. Good for her. But here's the thing. She needs to find that idol because without it, she loses her vote.
Correct. No, because Jelinski had. Here's Jelinski's part number two. Okay. So Jelinski and two other people from two different tribes go to a boat. And this is the two truths and a lie game. Okay. We had a torch card, a skull card, and a vote card. The torch card has to find the vote card. And after mixing the cards, who was the woman who had it? I'm sorry, because I don't know everybody right now.
All right, Maria chose the torch card.
So then Jelinski and I, and
it was,
who's that
guy? Jelinski and Tevin have
to convince... Tevin, by the way, he's going to go very far. Trust me, he's going to go very far.
Yeah, anyway. Jelinski and Tevin have to convince Maria that they have the vote card. Tevin, of course, has the vote card. Jelinski has the skull card. The player that gets Maria to choose them gets an extra vote, and the other would lose their vote. Maria would lose her vote unless she picks Tevin, even though she wasn't 100%
And then Jelinski goes, and I'm going to okay, here's a little quick role play. You're Maria.
I'm Chico. Maria. Okay, I'm
Maria. Jelinski. Okay.
You're Jelinski.
Right. I don't have the card.
And
I don't have the card.
And Gordon's going to be Tevin. I'm going
to... tell me about the rabbits, George.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much it. No, screw it. So
all
Jelinski,
I can say is...
Jelinski, after 5 minutes, goes, okay, I have the skull card. Tevin has the vote card. And we're going to give you both votes. And when they got back there, everyone goes, the F, dude! I'm cleaning up. Are you nuts? You gave people extra votes? Yeah. Why? Because I don't lie. The hell!
Oh, jeez. Are we really doing this?
Right. Okay. So that's number two. Okay.
So that's
now we go to the immunity challenge.
Now we go to the immunity challenge.
AKA the curse of the giant gecko.
Yeah, you're basically carrying a 15.
This is hysterical, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, do you think the Geico Gecko actually pulled some strings with the union? I'm serious, man. That's probably their first gig. Probably got them their card. Who knows? Anyway, so the three teams had to climb up a ramp and then untie a very heavy, probably sandbag-laden gecko. They had to get it over a wall, under a string obstacle, and up the ramp, and then two people had to solve a Survivor 46 puzzle. First two teams get immunity. Last team goes to Tribal Council. Okay?
Yep. I'll tell you right now, Yanu chose Jess and Jelinski to solve the puzzle. Soda and Venus solved it for Nami. So that's the first place win. Jelinski is still struggling. Meanwhile, Mariah and Maria, that's going to be fun, secured second place for Sega, meaning that Yanu will be the first to go to Tribal. And Jelinski's up in here like, yeah, man, I got my four. I got Tiffany, Kenzie, Q, and myself. I am going to chill out.
And he's got his new friend named Delusion.
Oh, God. This guy was one of the most delusion ever. Okay? Ever. Okay? Because he gets to try... Because, first of all, they were trying to put Jess out, which, understandably, because she didn't do much, but... Q was basically the one that's like, quit her. Yeah. You know, about the quitting thing. And Jelinski was just keeping, hanging himself. And Jeff was just handing in the rope. And it didn't help because Jelinski gets out 5-0. Your first, tribe has spoken. Goodbye. I mean, easy. Easy. This was not hard.
Nope. This was an easy. You know what? It's almost comical how easy this plan was. I mean, Jelinski did not play the game. He quit in the middle of the first, well, technically the second, but the first chance he got, he quit. And Q did not like that as much. To the point where it was like the rest of the tribe were basically, that's the plan that Jelinski thinks we're going with. This is the real plan. So, yeah, I mean, like,
this is the blueprint on how not to play Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed, it is.
This is how you don't play Survivor, and this is if you want to leave the game early. This is how you play.
And
quit on every challenge, and then be disingenuous to Jeff Probst, who ironically, you know, and thing he's like, I don't lie. Yet he did a really good job of doing that at Tribal Council, and Jeff Probst called him on it.
There you go.
Yes,
like I said, we saw Dark Jeff today.
Right. Well, no, you didn't see Dark Jeff. You had a responsible
you
Jeff.
Saw a sassy and Owen, Jeff.
Yes. Owen, by the way, speaking of which, you're talking of the, here's a segue. This is how you don't play Survivor. This is how you don't play RuPaul's Drag Race Snatch Game. Okay?
Yeah. Well, okay, before we get to Snatch Game, we have to talk about the mini challenge. The library is open. It is a reading challenge, and the winner gets $2,500. That would be Tsunami Muse.
Now, which was probably the last and best hope she had. Because here we go. Okay, so we had no special guest players, except two members of the pit crew. But the celebrities were Dawn was Meghan McCain. Mia Amon LePage was Trina's cousin Shaquita, with a dollar sign, by the way. Okay. Morphine Love Dion was Anna Delvey. Nymphia Wynn was Jane Goodall. Plain Jane was Yelena Karlushka. And Gordon, before we continue, that's a real person, isn't it? That's not someone she made up.
It's a Serbian version of Lady Gaga. I happen to have two of her songs. So, yeah.
Okay. Plasma was legendary Broadway star Patti LuPone. Q was Amelia Earhart. Sophia Kristal.
James Brown.
Yes. And then Tsunami Muse played her own character, the Gold Tooth Fairy. Now, Gordon.
All right. You're going to give it over to me and then I will chat.
Yeah.
Okay. Gordon. If you're going to play an original character, what do you have to do? Seriously.
So there's three rules when you're playing Snatch Game. Number one, and the most important one, by the way, entertain RuPaul and make her laugh.
Yes.
Make RuPaul laugh. If you cannot do that, you're in serious trouble. So that's number one. Number two, you need to create a character. And you need to create someone identifiable as the character. And you can even do it and make it a character just like that as long as you make them laugh. As you create a character.
Yeah, remember, I think this could be best illustrated at Mia Iman LePage's character as Trina's cousin, Shaquita, with a dollar sign.
Because that was funny.
That was funny,
and that was a character of a rich lady who's obviously a gold digger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She made a
She was an urban gold digger who did nails, she did hair, and she was from the same hood as Trina. It was funny. It was great.
And to be quite funny and ironic, this should have been the character the Gold Tooth Fairy should have been.
Yeah. So one. If you make a character, make it relatable. Two, make RuPaul laugh. And three.
Well, and if you have a character, make the character over the top. Know the character. Know the character inside and out. Create, and again, it doesn't have to be accurate, but create a character. Make the character, give the character a bio. Make the character funny, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just give very quick things. Dawn was just there as Meghan McCain. I actually liked Morphine.
To be honest, there seemed to be a lot of that was cut out. I mean, she landed on the safe side, which means there are certainly things that she did that got her there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can tell in the edit, they didn't go through everybody. They just picked out the choice pieces on both why it worked and the characters and why it didn't work on the characters.
Right. I actually liked Anna Delvey's performance. I mean, Morphine's performance, because I was a fan of that miniseries, so I got what it was.
But here's the problem with it, and I completely agree with you, Paul, on this. You have to create a character, and you have to bring it over the top. You know, again, what Plain Jane did, that was what you did. That is how you create the character. What Morphine did, it was halfway. So yeah, but I mean, she should have gone over the top. She should have really showed fraudulency. She needed to take the character much further. And the biggest problem that she had, I think, in other Snatch games, she was safe. You had six other people,
right,
that were really good. That
yeah.
did what you needed to do. There was a clear divide between top and bottom.
Yeah.
Right, and top and bottom.
And I'll tell you right
clear
now.
Divide, like no question.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, before we get to the runway, Plain Jane emerged as a strong favorite to win in my eyes. Again,
well,
I had
there,
to research.
There's still plenty to go here, but I will say this. Not everybody that wins Snatch Game wins RuPaul's Drag Race. However, of all the years that they've done it, only twice has the person lip-syncing for their life won.
There you go.
So losing this challenge does not put you in a good spot.
No, Morphine.
So,
okay. I thought I will just say Nymphia Wind was self-indulgent as Jane Goodall.
It wasn't even self-indulgent. She just, it didn't work.
It did not.
It wasn't funny.
Jane Goodall, by and large, is not funny. Jane Goodall is a person who takes her.
You could make her funny.
How do you make Jane Goodall funny?
You know how you make Jane Goodall funny? You talk about the sex lives of the apes.
Oh, that's
you do it in the Jane Goodall voice instead. I saw my friend Paul with his favorite monkey.
I saw Paul and Adam playing with each other's bananas. I mean, you could have just done
exactly right.
Because this is getting way too off the rails here, even more than usual. Anyway, runway categories, Dancing Queen. The winner was
Plain Jane
for 5,000. Your bottom two was Morphine, Love Dion, and Tsunami Muse. They lip sync to I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me by Whitney Houston. Tsunami Muse goes bye-bye.
Deservedly so, I might add.
Yes.
You know what? I'm not sure about deservedly so. I mean, she definitely did not win the lip sync. You know, but you're at the point, and I said this last week, you're at the point where all the bad queens are gone. Now mediocre is the new bad, and you can't be mediocre now and get away with it. Now, I would like to say props to James Brown and Chiquita, because most of them were pretty well done.
Yeah, and by the way, just as an update, Dawn has won zero challenges. Nymphia, Plain Jane, and Plasma have won two. Mia and Q have won one, along with Sophia Cristal.
So if you're Dawn, you need to bring it, or you're going to be in deep doo-doo.
Right, yes. And also, remember, Plain Jane has 2 weeks left, right? 2 weeks, correct? 2 weeks. To use or give her immunity potion to someone else.
Correct.
I was going to say, this Friday coming up, she probably won't use it. Next Friday, that could be interesting.
That could be interesting, and we will continue to follow it as the game goes on. But right now, we have actual news.
Okay.
All right, remember a couple weeks ago where we were talking about the Warner Brothers Discovery merging perhaps with Paramount?
Right.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Right.
It says Warner Brothers, this is from Deadline, Warner Brothers Discovery is halting talks with Paramount Global about a potential merger, according to a new report from CNBC citing sources familiar with the matter. The move comes after CEOs David Zaslav and Bob Bakish met to discuss the matter back in December. Representatives for Warner Brothers Discovery and Paramount declined to comment. Shares of Paramount, which have fallen 48% in the past year, are up 0.9% during Tuesday's trading session, while WBD stock, which has fallen 45% in the past year, is up 0.76% following the report.
There is going to be a merger. It may not happen now. It may happen later. Okay? There's going to be, Gordon, you know this, because you can't have, I'm being honest with you, look at how many services we have now, right? And I'm being dead serious here. Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, HBO Max, Netflix. There's got to be a consolidation somewhere.
Well, you've already seen some of the streamers starting to eat themselves in terms of talking about mergers and stuff like that. And there's another article that came out saying that Paramount is all of a sudden going to go, well, you know, we learned something during the striking and we're going to be doing a lot less. No, the real reason is you're running out of budget. Because some of the streamers, like Netflix, know what they're doing and others don't. Which, again, it's whatever at this point. The fact of the matter is, things can't continue the way they are in terms of streamers. Something is going to give, and it may give sooner rather than later. I mean, it may turn into streamer vision, where you have one channel is this, one channel is this, one channel is this. I mean, if HBO is smart, you know, this is how they made their money back in the day. You put all the networks next to each other. Now maybe you find a way to put all the streamers next to each other. What's old is new again.
I do have the quote from that article. Bob Bakish, CEO that we were just talking about, has said we're improving return on investment by lowering the average cost per title, by balancing high-budget tentpoles with more modest-cost titles like Mean Girls, which came out last year, and Bob Marley, One Love, which came out last month, improving the financial return on the overall slate, and we're off to an excellent start on this. We prioritize lower-cost formats like Unscripted and those shot abroad while maintaining our strength in franchises, noting that NCIS Australia's spinoff, that NCIS Sydney, was produced in Australia at a much more efficient price point. That will be a continuing trend. You will see us leaning even further into offshore productions for our global franchises, including the London installment of Billions, the new Ray Donovan origin story with the Donovans, as well as the new series like The Department from George Clooney. So
There's going to be another NCIS spinoff. Paramount Plus just announced that too, for Paramount Plus exclusively,
with Michael Weatherly and Cote DiPaolo.
Correct. So, but I'm just thinking right now, there's going to be consolidation. We're going to see more of it in 2024. We are. Moving on.
What do you mean more of it? I think it's only just begun. The romance is not over.
The
romance is not deed over. I'm saying we're going to get mergers. I think, yes, Warner Brothers is going to go with Paramount. I think Peacock may join, you know, Hulu or something. Don't know.
Now Comcast has sold its stake in Hulu back to Disney. So Disney owns all of Hulu and has incorporated it in Disney Plus if you are one of the beta users.
Okay, but I also think that they might throw Peacock in there as well. Who knows? Don't know. Something like that. You know what I mean?
Something like that.
But
meanwhile, Max is all out here like, will anybody love me?
Yeah, exactly.
So. Okay.
I love you. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's end this with...
my friend.
Let's round this segment out with 30 seconds off the floor. Gene beats Jennifer. Gene beats Tiffany. Gene beats Heidi. Claire beats Tim. Riley beats Kaylee. Gene beats Tucker. Gene beats Dylan. Gene beats Claire. Matthew wins the episode with 34 spaces. Matthew beats Gene. Matthew beats Lindsay. Matthew beats Kwame. Arthur beats Matthew. Arthur beats Jody. Arthur beats Alana. Arthur beats Riley, and we're down to the final duel, and like Hulk Hogan, Jacqueline does three moves and beats Arthur for the $250,000.
Yay.
I will tell you this. This is going to get a second season for this reason. If you get parodied by Saturday Night Live, you know you're in the cultural somewhere somehow. Okay? I think it's a good enough show that it will come back next year.
It's a good enough show. It's a cheap enough show.
That's the magic number. It is a cheap enough show.
Yep. It's getting the right eyeball. It's getting the right eyeballs, and they're shooting it, and they're hubbing it out. So, yeah.
I see that. So, that's the end of Act 1. Oh, man. It's hot on that island, but there's nothing there. We need to fill it up a little bit, don't we?
We will fill it up, but not before we talk about all the news that you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. Sick and save 5-1, your hope for Wheel of Twitter Up. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you Chico doing that whole 22-move segment again on the finality of the floor.
I'm not doing that again, Gordon.
Oh, come on. It was so much fun.
You know how I am with lists on this show. You know that is my bread and butter. You know I kill it. But that's but that's like something that I can only do once.
Aw.
Maybe I'll do another list later on in the show. You'll have to tune in. You'll have to stay tuned to find out. We'll be right back.
Okay, then I'll do it. Then I'll give you a list. Duke beats North Carolina men's basketball. Duke beats North Carolina in football. Duke beats North Carolina in women's swimming. Duke
go
beats,
to break!
Duke beats North Carolina in men's track and field. Duke beats North Carolina in women's track and field. Duke beats North Carolina in Jeopardy. Duke beats North Carolina in Tiddlywinks. Duke beats North Carolina.
In Jenga. Yes. We'll be back right after this here on 5-1. Let's go.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Game Show Newsnet and WLTI has been brought to you by Surge Jackpots. That's right. It's name your own pricing jackpots. Here we go. The jackpot in jackpot is how many people are watching? Yes, 5 million people are watching, so I'll make it $15 million. Oh, wait, tomorrow's episode will be, oh, wait, only 50 people are watching? You get a Wendy's burger. That is Surge Jackpots coming to a game show budget standpoint near you.
Yeah, by the way, you notice how
probably Paramount
fast. You know how fast Wendy's backtracked, didn't
I? I was like, you know that thing we said that we were totally gonna do? Yeah, we're totally not gonna do it. We never said it, and you're a lying liar who lies.
No, you misconstrued what we meant to say. We really meant to say we're gonna give all discounts.
I misconstrued every word you said.
It's all
said.
The press's fault. Let's blame the press.
No. Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media. Doug Morris Games on Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And also listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he does Rock Tracks on Rock 104. That is WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial. And, of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Rock 104 app, and the Odyssey app.
Okay. So most of the bats look like, one looks like the Fox logo and one looks like the Pluto logo, or is it the Wheel of Fortune logo? I can't see from here.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Okay. So.
Business now. It's business time. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it.
All right. So Fox, as you know, has sort of a dedicated block of syndicated game shows, including 25 Words or Less, Pictionary, and Person, Place, or Thing. All three of those have been renewed for the next season. Yay!
Yay!
But where does that leave TMZ's Who the Bleep Is That?
Gone.
Reigns.
Well, yeah. Well, that's two reasons. One, the show wasn't that good. And two, the host got arrested. So, you know.
I would actually think number one could easily be spruced, because you would think that that's sort of a cheaper budget show to do. But yeah, host getting arrested usually means your show.
What was it, for DUI, if I remember correctly?
That would be correct.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Person, Place, or Thing, I believe I'm on the show tomorrow. Don't watch. It was not pretty.
What happened?
You know what?
Hold it. I missed that. Who's on the show tomorrow?
Me. I'm the super fan tomorrow. I taped that like 8 months ago.
Okay. So.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Wheel of Fortune on Pluto, shall we?
Yeah. Sure.
Hold on. Wait one second. Let's play the brains thing again, because this is going to be for Jason's super fan performance.
No, Reigns.
Okay. Now
please,
we can
please
talk.
Please tell me it's not worse than your diatribe on Catch 21.
No, it was not like that. It was just that I was having fun until the player got into the bonus round, and oh boy, just saying.
Aw.
Okay, moving on to
Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, let's talk about Wheel of Fortune. There's more Wheel of Fortune on Pluto, believe it or not. They've added more episodes.
Woo-hoo.
So, hey, they must be doing something, right? Right? Right.
Well, that's not only thing they added on Pluto.
Oh, what? They also had Top Chef Vault.
They do. It was on Tubi. So you're not imagining things. It's been on other streamers, and now it's migrated its way onto Pluto.
Yes, it is.
Right, and they had some also other channels, too, which are not related to game shows, but are still pretty cool.
Yes. So all of that is on Pluto now, so go and get your watch on. Meanwhile, right. Jay, you're going to get your date book on.
And, oh my God! So we have a few days to... Well, first of all, what you did not put on is the Tournament of Champions continues through next week.
Well, that's obvious.
I know. Okay. The season finale of Rhythm and Flow Italy is on Netflix next Monday. Battle of the Mountain Behind the Battle is on HGTV. And one of my favorite Gordon Ramsay versions of himself, MasterChef Junior, on Fox. It's really a lot of fun, because Gordon is so good with the kids, for real. No joke.
Course he's going to be really good for the kids, because his own kid is joining the panel.
Tilly, right, I believe?
Tilly Ramsey, yeah.
And I believe Tilly has one of her own, I think, or not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Okay. Spring Baking Championship on Max, Rock the Block on Max, and HGTV and Food, respectively, and So You Think You Can Dance all have their season premieres on Monday as well. Big premiere Monday. And on Wednesday, we have the season finale of Love is Blind, the Challenge Battle for a New Champion, and the season premiere of The Masked Singer and Guy's Grocery Games. Now, this next thing about Dad Apto is pretty cool. I think it's one of the best. Yeah. So... I believe it's in March this comes out, I think.
Yes.
Survivor VR.
Survivor Horizon Island, they call it.
Yes, so talk about it.
All right, so Survivor's teamed up with Meta for a VR version of Survivor with presumably Jeff Probst hosting.
Yeah, hold on. Let me take a look at this. Yeah, announced the same day where
yeah, that's going to be CBS has partnered with Meta on the game, which was developed by Albion VR and Review and Well Played Studios, and it can be played on Meta Horizon Worlds beginning March 8th. You can do everything that you would normally do on Survivor, form alliances, compete in challenges, search for hidden immunity idols. You can also deal with everyday Survivor tasks like taking to the fire, fishing for food, trying not to getting eliminated, you know, the usual.
So I'm just curious on this, and I don't know whether or not you have the answer. Now, is this something played in real time that you have 16 real people playing, or is it just a game that you play just like the other Survivor games that are out there where you just play and then you can pick it up whenever you feel like picking it up?
I don't know. I don't know that. Don't know.
Because if you had the former, that would be really smart. And that would be really smart and cool to be able to play live with like people, and maybe you make it like an hour long and maybe 5 minutes you boot somebody off or something like that. But that would be really smart.
Yeah. We have two not so smart stories here.
That's dumb.
So on the 1% Club, there was a clue that really got people upset. And it wasn't, it was a read the clue thing. Okay.
I have put the clue on our screen if you'll pay attention to it. The question is, how many eyes can you see in the image below? And there is an image. And if you count it right, there are 15 eyes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes. Right. Right. Because eyes are spelled E-Y-E-S, not eyes, the letter I. Okay?
Yeah. 30 of the players, according to the show, the most ever dinged on one question, got it wrong.
Oops.
Well, that's just a read the clue, people. Seriously.
That's an RTFQ if ever I saw one.
Right, exactly. Now, the second question you have, because this is a little BS Big Show crossover, and oh boy.
Yeah, Cam Newton was on We Are Family, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Gordon?
That is correct. He's been on more than one game show in certain things. I was actually sort of surprised by this. How do you like North Carolina, Chico?
Anyway, so
but I'm sure the game that he did not want to be on was America's Funniest Home Videos, aka hey, let's get into a fight with other people about kids.
Yeah, Cam Newton was in a fight at a 7-on-7 youth football tournament in Atlanta.
And got, you know.
Yeah. All I can say is, why you got to do that, Cam?
But then, well.
But that happened after Richard Sherman was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Not comparing apples to oranges because they're both dumb.
Well, I don't know if Richard Sherman's been on a game show, but Cam has.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, but they both need to maybe have some haterade?
Yeah. Let's have some haterade.
Haterade!
All right, we talked about Paramount already. Now we get to talk about another person who had a rap sheet, and that would be Darnell Ferguson.
Oh boy.
He was arraigned on assault and strangulation charges this week, and he pled not guilty, which means we're going to see We're going to see a grand jury. We're going to see the trial. His legal counsel has released this statement. Darnell is looking forward to being able to have his day in court and presenting to the jury of his peers evidence that will show he is innocent of the charges. The law clearly states that the indictment does not decipher guilt or innocence. With all of that said, we still have him appearing for about 30 seconds on Tournament of Champions this week.
So how did they do that?
They basically edited him down to the bare minimum while popping up his opponent, Amanda Freitag. One of the few things we heard Darnell say, and this is from our friends at Reality Blurred, this is the one shot I get right now. And after he lost, we were only showed him walking off the set, creating the impression that he was a poor sport who stormed off without a word.
Oops. Just saying, not good.
No, it's not good at all.
So where are we sending everybody?
We are sending them to La Belle Provence.
De Quebec, yes?
De Quebec, si. I mean,
no, we. Because this is a big deal.
This actually is a big deal. The biggest jackpot in a Canadian game show was won last week by a retiree from Terrebonne named Jacques Senecal. And this was on a show called, and you'll have to forgive me because my French is not good, La Poule aux œufs d'or. Or The Goose with the Golden Eggs.
Okay.
He won a total of $1,527,000 Canadian dollars. The largest amount ever given away on the show, by the way, that translates to $1,124,902.72.
Do we know how he won it? Do we know exactly?
No, we don't. All we know is he scored a double in the roulette game, which allowed him to get his hands on 2,000 in the Machine à Poulet bonus game. Opening the doors earned him 3 eggs right from the start, allowing him to move straight to the next stage. With egg number 7, he played and he won. With his prize, the retired man would like to rent a cottage in Prince Edward Island and take a family trip. The jackpot, or Le Gros Lot, has not been won since October 25th, 2022.
That's cool. Yeah, the hen with the golden eggs, and that's a French Canadian media home. And we have more, don't we?
I got pros. In different area codes.
All right. We begin with a sad media pro, as Richard Lewis passed away earlier at the age of 76 after a heart attack. He was on Hollywood Squares with both John Davidson and Tom Bergeron.
And Peter Marshall, all three.
All three, wow.
All three, yep.
All right. Jimmy Fallon has paused taping on That's My Jam due to celebrity schedules. Rob Wade will keynote at the Banff Festival. Jared Hybon of Hoffer and Ashley Iaconetti from Bachelor in Paradise reveal the gender of their second baby. It's a boy. Randy Travis makes an appearance in the Price is Right audience. Reba McEntire shuts down rumors that she's leaving The Voice. She isn't. Graham Norton leaves his weekend radio show. Mark Cuban shares his savvy on Masterclass. Mark Summers' off-Broadway show is a hit. Ty Farrell filmed a pilot with his ex-wife. And Niecy Nash has a reunion on the We Are Family set. And Jinx Monsoon is the new Audrey off-Broadway in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that's two reasons for me to get tickets. But, two different reasons, two different shows.
But none of them are your Ho of the Week. Okay. And it goes, okay. Jay?
Yes?
Your Superfan episode is not airing tomorrow.
Oh?
It aired today. Congratulations, you are the Ho of the Week.
Oh, yay! Oh, wonderful. Terrific.
Speech! Speech!
Jason Block, a leap ho.
Well, no. I threw my name in the hat. I asked around. It really was a lot of fun to do. Now that it aired, I actually do want to get an interview because Melissa Peterman actually was very nice to me. So who knows? Maybe we'll get an interview with her since it got renewed.
So and you are not the only one of our little group of fans who got to be super fans because Mike Klaus was also a super fan earlier this year.
Mike Klaus, our good friend Hirsch from the Hirsch Show. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so there's been a few, but so on the media hole of the week. Why not? I'll take it. It was, put it to you this way. If I won something, I would have promoted, but ooh, boy, it was horrible. But I will say, though, all joking aside, the person, place, or thing people were very nice. So very cool. I don't know if that gives me eligibility, but I guess that's about the only show I have left.
Maybe.
But
were you a super fan? Oh no, wait, you can't be a super fan on that show because you're never mind.
Yeah, pretty much. It's okay.
And those are your hosts.
Yep.
And that's your Jason Block report.
Yeah, that's my media host. Just shut it down. I need to go to an island. I really need to go to an island. Can you get me to an island?
I can get you to an island.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be free though.
That's fine. That's fine.
Alrighty.
Let's get to that island, and we'll be back with Act 3 after I hang my head in shame. We'll be back.
Brain bleach!
Yeah, brain bleach. Yes, we need that one.
I won!
WLTI is presented by La Gran Oca versus La Gran Poulet. Who has the bigger poultry with the bigger bucks, Canada or Mexico? It's La Gran Oca versus La Gran Poulet.
You know, what scares me is that I completely understood the esoteric reference that Chica was trying to give off right there. That scares me. I think I need to take a break and go to a deserted island and try to mentally figure myself out at this moment because I actually got the reference.
I did too. La Gran Juego
Jay,
de la
you want to go with me?
Yeah, I do. I want to. Honestly, I want to play La Gran Juego de la Oca. That's actually one of my favorite Spanish games, ever, ever, really,
ever.
So. But anyway, we are going to head to a desert island, and Chico and Gordon are going to explain it.
Basically, we give a couple of options. One of which. You'll have to send to a deserted island to live out the rest of their days in seclusion, away from proper humans like us.
Such as?
Branson from Deal or No Deal Island, or Jelinski from Survivor. Both of them were the first players eliminated from their respective islands. Who gets to go to this island and who gets to go home?
Honestly, I think Jawlensky, because he needs to learn how to live on an island and actually participate. So I think the rest of the island is going to put him through his paces. I want Jawlensky.
Now, at least the lawyer did one thing bad and was sort of a victim of social circumstance. Jawlensky did everything humanly possible to make sure that he was going to be the first person to leave. So I'll go with Jawlensky.
I'll make it a trio, and Jawlensky gets the first ticket to WLTI Island.
Okay. Number two.
Number two. Traitors content!
Yay! Okay, good.
Deontay Wilder, who quit in episode 4, or the rotting kayfabe corpse of Johnny Bananas, who was whacked first?
Oh no, it's Deontay Wilder. Again, no one likes a quitter. So this will be the WLTI Quitters Island. I want Deontay Wilder there.
You know what? I like it. I like it a lot.
I was going to say something, but I'm not going to. Deontay Wilder sounds fantastic.
Okay, go ahead. Next one.
Number three. We're not going to talk about quitters. We are, however, going to talk about the Parade of the Deluded on Drag Race this season. Uh-huh. And by that, I mean Tsunami Muse or a mandatory meeting.
Oh, good grief. A mandatory muting. Tsunami Muse had just one really bad character thing. A mandatory meeting upset everybody. Put a mandatory meeting to annoy Jawlensky and Deontay Wilder.
Oh, I'm going to go against you on this one. At least a mandatory meeting won something. You know, I believe Tsunami Muse was safe, out.
Let me look.
No,
let me.
I got it right here.
Zombie Muse was safe until that's correct. Well, the mandatory meeting did not win anything either. She was safe for the same way too, except she only got 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you want to go with Tsunami, go for it.
Well, I'm afraid for you two ladies. Your fate rests in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Tsunami Muse made one bad choice. Actually, she made a plethora of bad choices, but this one cost her. Tsunami Muse is going to the island.
Oh, okay. Cool. That worked.
Next up, number 4. Veronica Portillo or Cara Maria Sorbello? These are two of the new castmates announced for the new season of the Challenge All-Stars. They have been on a combination of 25 seasons of the Challenge.
And they have neither won, correct?
I have the notes right here. Cara Maria Sorbello.
Yes.
Okay, obvious edit point here is obvious. Ah, here we go. Cara Maria Sorbello has been in 14 challenges with 2 wins. And Veronica Portillo has been in 13 challenges with 3 wins. So, Cara Maria Sorbello has been in more challenges than anybody, but has only won twice.
Yeah, which means she goes to the island. She needs to learn her lesson.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, the rest of the list, because lists are kind of sort of my thing. Ace Amerson, 5 challenges. Adam Larson, 3 challenges, 1 win. Avery Tressler, 2 challenges. Ayanna Mackens, 4 challenges. Brad Fiorenza, 12 challenges, 1 win. Brandon Nelson, 5 challenges. Derek Chavez, 4 challenges. Flora Alexian, 1 challenge. Janelle Casanave, 3 challenges, 1 win. Jasmine Reynaud, 6 challenges. Jay Mitchell, 1 challenge. Cam Williams, 5 challenge. Kepia Hare, 1 challenge, 1 win. Laurel Stuckey, 7 challenges, 1 win. Leroy Garrett, 12 challenges. Nicole Zanata, 3 challenges. Rachel Robinson, 7 challenges, 2 wins. Ryan Kehoe, 6 challenges. Steve Mankey, 2 challenges. Cyrus Yarbrough, 7 challenges, 1 win. Tina Barta, 7 challenges. Tony Raines, 6 challenges. And Tyree Ballard Brown, 6 challenges.
Yay.
I only remember Cara Maria and Cyrus, but that's because I'm an old.
But again, what's the next one? Next, please.
Here we go. David Zaslav, the CEO of Warner Brothers, or Bob Backish, the CEO of Paramount? Well,
originally I was going to say both of them, but Zaslav has just made bonehead after bonehead after bonehead decision. So I'll go Zaslav.
I'm going to go Zaslav too, because he is the one person on earth that makes David Tepper look like a freaking genius.
Well, he also was talking about stuff about the strike, and all he was a galvanizing lightning rod on why the strike was going to happen for everybody to begin with.
True.
Uh-huh.
And now they're craving poverty. And my first thought was, and no, not poverty shallow, they're craving poverty. And my first thought was, well, if you didn't make them go on strike, none of this would have happened.
Correct.
Anyway, just a reminder, hi, Yahtzee, hi, Tea Time. Dave kind of contract also. So we're not done yet with this.
Not even close.
You.
Next one.
And finally, and this is an interesting one, Mario Lopez, Samantha Harris, or Rob Belushi. All 3 have had a strong start on a GSN original series, and all 3 of those series have been since moved out of prime time and into sometime the daytime.
I'll remind everybody what shows each of them are on.
Mario Lopez, he's on Blank Slate, which just got moved from 7:30 to 2.
PM, not AM or PM?
PM.
Okay.
Samantha Harris, who was host of Tug of Words when it moved from primetime to 9
Tug of
o'clock.
War Season 2. Season
Tug of
two.
Words Season 2, yes. And Rob Belushi was on Get a Clue, which moved from prime time to 10 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to go with Mario Lopez because, unfortunately, that is the weakest of the 3 vehicles.
I happen to agree. I'm going to go with Lopez as well.
I'm going to make it a triple because Mario Lopez, the thing of it is, it had such promise and had the audience, but that audience shrank slowly over time, and then GSN decided pretty much to cut its own losses and wait for the next season.
What promise is that you speak of, sir?
I just saw Mario Lopez pubbing the heck out of Blank Slate when it first premiered.
But there were no promises made. It was just a show.
It was just a promo. You're basically talking about...
For argument's sake, you're talking about Harrison Ford with a monster truck with square wheels.
Basically.
The monster truck with square wheels doesn't go very far.
No. Not at all.
To sum this up, we've got Quitter's Island. Quitter's... I won't say the tagline that goes along with that. You can all think about it in your mind. But the main class is, of course, by Principal David Zaslav. Mario Lopez is the teacher. You've got everyone else in the class trying to learn how to be a better player or a better host or a better human. Either or the other. It's classes on Quitter's Island, hosted by Grizzlebees. You wish you had this one.
Talk quit. Get hit.
Yes, exactly. So our island is pretty much populated, but our speed round 8. So we're going to finish that off right after this on 5-1. We'll be right back. See you in a minute.
Let's go.
Interrupt.
What happens when you combine lingo with Loteria Loca? You get Lingo Loco. What happens when you have a standard word game and the word keeps changing? It's just too darn difficult, which means CBS will give it 5 seasons and a movie. It's Lingo Loco.
Yeah, well.
RuPaul and Jaime Camille host, because my God, those are all, they're awesome.
Yes, they are. But you know what's also awesome? A speed round, and we're going to start that now. RuPaul's Drag Race. Who are we separating from the top 5 or 6?
Oh, boy. If I am Morphine Love Dion, I have my get right week with this week. Either her or Nymphia wins. One of them's got to get their get right.
I'm, you know, Gordon.
I'm sorry, Jay. You go first.
No, I'm going to call a non-elimination leg. I'm going to call that somebody, that Plain Jane uses the immunity potion, not on herself, but someone else. Because she's not that smart.
I don't think it happens this week. I think it happens next week. I think it happens in 2 weeks, because she can use it to save herself in 2 weeks and not next week. But keep this in mind, which is why I don't think it's going to be an elimination. You have to use it before the bottom three are called.
Okay.
So not when the queen is eliminated. So therefore, Jay, you're wrong. And therefore, I think there will be elimination. But I do think that there may be a surprise here, because it seems too simple. And usually when it's too simple, it's not. So I'll say there'll be a surprise. I don't know where the surprise is going to be, but I'll call an audible. I'm going to say, I will say that neither of those two bottom queens gets eliminated. It's someone else.
And okay. can I throw a name out to you? Can I throw a name?
Okay.
I'll say Nymphia Wind as a surprise elimination.
I don't think she would be a surprise elimination.
Or put it to you this way, one of the higher rated queens. How's that?
Well, if you don't have those two, everyone else has got to win. So, no, you're fence straddling. Wheel of Fortune, $1 million winner?
No.
Nope. Nope, I've been watching. Nope.
Survivor, still too early to gauge who goes out second?
No, actually, you can. I think Jess is the number two person, not Jess, the other one. Hold on, I'm so Jem. Sorry. What?
Jem?
Yeah, Jem, okay? Because I think that she is, Jess Chong. Yes.
Yeah, you were right the first time.
Okay. Yeah, Jess Chong, I think she's going to be out of the Yanu tribe. I think they're going to miss again, and they're going to talk about her ADHD and stuff, and they're going to take her out.
I happen to agree with Jay, especially because Survivor didn't really do any editing on anybody else, which leads me to believe that I'm going to agree with Jay. The only person that got any sort of edit was Jess. I think you in trouble, girl.
Yeah. I mean, because everyone else right now, that we're trying to establish who their characters are. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just talking about how they're going to be defined as. Is that a better word for it,
I think? That's about right.
Yeah.
It's all about storytelling at this point.
It is. Okay.
That's way too worse. Traitors, we're down... The traitors, we're down to 2. Are we going to be down to 1?
So who are the final 2 right now?
We have Phaedra is a traitor, and Kate got drafted to be a traitor. And last time we checked, it was between Phaedra and Peter with 1 vote left.
Ooh,
I think it's going to be Phaedra. I think Phaedra's going.
No, I think Peter's going. I think Phaedra, however, is dead traitor walking.
Yes, she
if
is.
If she's not out now, she'll be out on the next one.
All right. Yep.
Okay, there are 15...
And by the way, Sandra is playing a masterful game.
She is.
Masterful.
Yes, she is.
She is showing why she is the GOAT of reality television. Now...
One of the GOATs. One of the GOATs, yes.
Okay,
so
now we have 15 players left in the Tournament of Champions. pick one to go to the semis. You cannot pick that one. That is.
I know I can't. I can't pick that one. I know I cannot pick that one because that's a homer pick. Let me take a look. Because I need to see who is there.
It's like I'm
gonna pick a Brian Henniger. Yay!
I told you couldn't pick that one.
Well, that's a homer pick, but you know what? That's cool. That's fine.
Oh, fine. You can pick that one. Do we have any mail?
Well, no. Well, hold on. I just need to see what I'm going to... Why don't you see Monday's matchup? Monday's matchup... Oh, you know what? I'm going to pick Ike Barinholtz.
You're crazy.
I'm going to pick him to go to the semis. Why not?
You are crazy, sir.
What? Yeah, I may be, but... You asked me to pick someone, I'm going to pick him. At least he's going to get to the nine. So we'll see if he gets to the nine. Okay?
Okay. Mail, do we have any?
Guess not.
No.
Sorry. But if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. You can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. And, of course, you can follow me at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am TSNN Hatery.
And, of course, the network is at 5-1. That is 5, the number 5. O-N-A-N-D-O-N-E-N-E-T. We talk about everything going on network-wide. Right now, we are...
You know what, Chico? I think we may need to do a BS next week.
Because we're on the cusp of beginning the Combine, aren't we?
No. The Combine has already happened, but the franchise tag deadline is Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That is going to be some spirited conversation as we talk about...
And we need to talk about Tyreek Hill allegedly leaking game plans. Oops. Okay. And we also need to talk about the draft. You know, just maybe a half hour, just to talk about stuff.
Just a nice quick mini-sode of the BS. That's cool. What's happening on the UBA front, G?
Mega Bowl.
When is that?
A weekend from this weekend. That is North versus South, and that is a variety of events in the Southeast. Going to Virginia.
So where are you going to be? Where is Mega Bowl going to be?
Mechanicsburg, Virginia.
All right. So you're taking a road trip next week.
Going on a road trip. Bye-bye.
Yes. UBA today.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. However, on the NAWC, we're going to talk about the Australian 5 a.m. frenzy that was the Elimination Chamber, which was a pretty awesome show. We didn't see it live, but it was pretty cool. AEW's got a pay-per-view this week called Revolution. Some interesting stuff going on with there, and that we are... I believe we are 34 days away from WrestleMania. That's crazy. And we know some things, but we don't know everything. And matches need to start to tighten up a little bit because we only have 4 championship matches right now. And we need to fill 2 nights, you know. So it's going to get real interesting. What about It Was a Thing?
Yeah, we just dropped because it is now crossed over into Leap Day. We just dropped the new episode, and it is Mike's Money in the Bank pick, The Completely Mental Misadventures of Ed Grimley, starring Martin Short, Joe Flaherty, and a bunch of other SCTV alums.
Nice. That's the animated stuff, right?
From 1988, yes.
Good grief. Okay.
And next week, we have another episode, and we kick off Lost in Translation Week.
Okay.
We have 3. Usually, we have 2 different shows that we're covering. This year, we're covering 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So that's going to be a little fun to look forward to. And if you liked Black History Month, you're going to love what we have next. So, yeah.
And by the way, next month coming up, which is Friday, is Women's History Month. And I don't know what you guys are doing, but there has been a lot of women's history over the recent times in game shows. see Meredith Vieira, see Brooke Burr,
Melissa Peterman,
Jamila Jamil, Emmy winner Kiki Palmer. We can't forget her.
Leslie Jones.
Yep. Lots of good and excellent female hosts. And of course, most recently, Mayim Bialik on Jeopardy. And yes, I'm going to say that.
Yep. Okay. So we have like some of the great female hosts of our day. And of course, we have to give a shout out to all of the legends that set the table. You're talking about Kitty Carlisle, Arlene Francis,
Betty White, Brett Summers, Rosemarie, Ruta Lee. And by the way, you know that we need to talk about this. There is something we may need to talk about. It's something called the Quiz Show Expo, which is happening at remember the Game Show Congresses back 20 years ago?
I do.
That is actually going to be held there on, I believe it is May 31st and June 1st. So we'll talk about more about that as it gets closer.
Yes, we will. And in the meantime, though, we're going to talk more about Drag Race, Deal or No Deal Island, Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, Survivor, and I believe, no, we won't have time to talk about The Amazing Race unless we do a Thursday show, but...
The Amazing Race debuts in 2 weeks, not next week.
So. Okay, in that case, we're not going to talk about The Amazing Race anyway. Okay.
No, we're not, because we have another 2-hour Survivor episode. So.
Yes, we do. So we have all of that coming up next week right here on WLTI. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.